Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I'd like to welcome you. We have a very empowering program today, and a lot of new information I'm going to share. We're going to start with how dried plums can slow bone loss and aging. Florida State University shared that information from a peer-reviewed journal. We have about 11 other good studies, all from peer-reviewed literature, all from respected institutions, things we should be doing that could prevent disease. And that's our object of, well, what we try to bring forward every day as the number one reason we're on the air, to allow people to live a longer and healthier life. Also today, we're going to do an original report, an investigative report, on not just Wikipedia, but also the people who control Wikipedia's information that is seen by over 240 million people around the world each week. It is the world's number one researched almanac or encyclopedia, I should say. So are they objective? We'll show you something that no one has discovered up until this point. In fact, what you're going to hear today about the skeptics and the so-called science-based medicine people behind it will surprise you. We've done our homework. We dig deep. Good scholarship. Original, right on this program today. Also, we'll tell you the latest about why you should not believe almost anything coming out of Congress. We have the evidence of who's been writing all of their reports. And it's not their own staff. It's not members of Congress. It's no one employed in the federal government. It's private interest. Wow. Well, can't we do anything about it? Yeah, we can, but you can't change a problem unless you identify the severity of the problem. We will today. And we also have some audio video clips to show you as well. And I personally select all these. I make sure that they're something that is legitimate. And everything I share with you first goes through our legal department here and then goes through our scholars. So this is a program of record. Unlike the New York Times, where we do not have anyone telling us which direction we should go in. And by the way, we will be reporting in an original investigation that we're doing at the New York Times of something that came out last week at a private meeting that wasn't supposed to become public, of how the top people at the New York Times told their editorial staff how they should make race the issue in the coming election. Well, that's race baiting. And that's wrong. That's divisive. That's dangerous. We don't need another major conflict in our society. And yet they're setting it up for that. They fell with the Russiagate, and now they're going to do this. Now it's been known we're spreading that information everywhere. So you see, we're sharing a lot of information. We start with health. According to Florida State University, several recent studies have confirmed what traditional Oriental medicine has known for centuries. The dried plums, you can buy them in any store, can help prevent and even reverse bone loss that can occur in most people after the age of 40. And this is just one of the studies. This one was 236 women, and they were between 1 and 10 years into menopause. And the women were randomly divided into two groups. One group was given 100 grams of dried plums every day. That's not much. That's 3 ounces. And the other group was given 100 grams of dried apples per day for a year. And after doing bone scans at 3 months, 6 months, and 12 months, the researchers found that dried plum showed significant greater bone mineral density than those women consuming dried apples over the same period of time. So I think that's very important. Now, that does not mean that dried apples are not good for you. They were just not measuring the right things with the apples. But it was a good study, and I commend them. Also, a new research project from Polytech Institute in Coimbra, which is in Portugal, as well as the University of Gothenburg, which is in Sweden, found that darker chocolate is far healthier to reduce heart disease risk. As you know, I promote the concept that we should consume about 2 ounces a day of a healthy dark chocolate, meaning don't have the dairy chocolate, all right? Don't have the sugary chocolate. And the higher the percent of chocolate, the better it is. Now, you start getting up around 80% to 100%, it's, for a lot of people, it's just too bitter. And the highest is 100%, and it's real bitter. Of course, it's very good. You also have to be concerned to make sure you're not taking 100% because you could also be getting some overstimulation. It can cause a hyperactivity in some people. But if you're around the 60 to 70%, that's the perfect amount of dark chocolate. Now, you'll see some of them say with goji berries and with other healthy ingredients like coconut. Don't buy into that. Here's the reality. Almost all these health drinks you see out there, and there are hundreds of different varieties now, they talk about how, you know, you're getting something extra in there. You're getting too little for it to be biologically effective or functional. So if I want to get a probiotic, I'm going to take a probiotic, and I'm going to take one that's going to seed billions of healthy bacteria in my gut. The amount that I might get in one of these so-called probiotic drinks might be 1,000th the amount that my body requires. But I'm paying extra for that, what amounts to water. So the same thing with chocolate. You may be paying extra for chocolate, thinking you're getting some superfoods in there, like blueberries. But you're really not. If you were to get the amount of blueberries in a chocolate bar that really would make a dent in a health issue, you would have to have more blueberries than chocolate. It would be about a 6-ounce bar, and 4 ounces would be blueberries. Well, there is no such thing. So just don't get caught up. Just get a good, healthy, dark chocolate. If they're sweetener, let it be coconut sugar, because that doesn't adversely affect it. But in any case, eating dark chocolate is good for your cardiovascular health. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrition. And it was, again, a collaboration between Coimbra in Portugal and University of Gothenburg in Sweden. And it's the polyphenols in chocolate that are really good for us. Also, we have people in this country who've been diagnosed with schizophrenia. I don't accept schizophrenia as a legitimate medical diagnosis. I believe there are other problems with the brain that could be explained. Now, the symptoms could be the same. Clearly, the person has a brain disorder. But according to Ben-Gurion University, which is in Israel, adding curcumin, C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N, is the active ingredient in turmeric, which is the spice used in curries. And it is important for any form of antipsychotic treatment. So if you know someone who has acute anxiety or is acting out, and by the way, there's some things that will cause you to act out that you should know about, and I'm going to report on a little later, including all these psychiatric meds. One of the reports coming a little bit is the latest shooter in Dayton was on multiple antipsychotic medication and cocaine. Well, I know people who've gone into full-blown psychoses and paranoid delusional psychoses from just marijuana, chronic marijuana smoking. I know three of those people were my close personal lifetime friends, and they all ended up having to be taken care of by their parents. Even when I would visit one, even when one came to my home, his son, who runs the whole surfing community, really nice guy in Hawaii, said that he couldn't handle his father anymore. He was just out of control. And he'd wander around, you know, talking about how everyone's out to get him, and he wouldn't stop smoking the marijuana. And so he said, "Can you help me?" I said, "I'll do all I can." He came, and I picked him up at the airport, took him to my home, and within 5 minutes of getting in the car, all he could talk about is, "Who's following us?" I said, "No one's following us." No. And he went into this whole screed of paranoid delusional outburst. And the next morning, he had taken a cab back to the airport to fly back to Hawaii because he felt that they would come and poison his food. And So for those of you who think that it's just a great idea to smoke marijuana and get high, understand it's very toxic. Do I believe it should be used in medicinal cases? Absolutely. Is there overwhelming preponderance evidence that the oils that are the active ingredients can help with pain and seizures and brain cancer, lung cancer? Yes, they can. With depression, yes, they can. 22,000 studies in our own library of medicine prove that. Do I believe it's good to smoke? Absolutely not. And yet you have people who say, it's my body, my choice. They're right. But understand, there's a consequence. Lung cancer, emphysema, those are the side effects. Just be aware of it. It should be legal. It should be used on a medicinal basis. But understand, there's a consequence to it. So anyhow, they introduced antipsychotics from curcumin in this study and had a major benefit, but there was no negative side effects. There's a lot of pharmaceutical activity that turns off inflammation. It is neuroprotective. Hence, spread this out. Let's take it a little further. I'm always working with people who have pain. And for their pain and dementia, and also some serious conditions with arthritis, I'm suggesting curcumin because it's not only neuroprotective, it's joint protective, it's muscle protective, it's organ protective, heart, lungs, liver, kidney, and brain. All right? Simply, it's one of the five most powerful things to heal your body you could use on a regular basis. Now, this is from Chungnam National University in South Korea. It's about mulberry leaves. Now, mulberries are great. I grow mulberries, and I love it. In fact, the animals love it even more. It's fun to take a whole giant bowl. Now, if you're watching a bowl this big, like a gallon bowl, and I'll get up in the tree and I'll pick, you know, a gallon of mulberries, and I'll eat about half of them. And then I come down the tree, and my fingers are all purple, and I take them over to the capuchins, and that's it. Boy, when they see the mulberries, they start smiling. They have this, they open their mouth, they smile, and they'll just sit there. And it's so funny because normally they'll take one item at a time, and they'll sit there and eat it. And if you've ever watched a capuchin, only a capuchin does this. The ring-tailed lemurs and the other type of primates won't. And I've worked with primates my entire adult life. In fact, the first primate I worked with Kokomo Jr. Do any of you remember Kokomo Jr., the chimpanzee used to be on the Dave Garraway show? Well, Kokomo was not a male. Kokomo was a little female. And the person who owned Kokomo Jr. lived on the corner. I lived in a little tiny apartment on Weston Avenue between 89th and 90th Street. And on the corner, on the ground floor, was this huge apartment, and I would frequently see this chimpanzee sitting in the window. And one day the guy knocked on the window, and he saw me running every day. He said, "Hey, I got to get in shape, and I see you running every day. Could you help get me into shape?" I said, "Sure." And so I, you know, got him down to Riverside Park and got him working out. And then one day he invites me in to meet his chimpanzee, and this was Kokomo. Now, this was not a warm and loving and friendly guy. He was really rough around the edges. I mean, he was a tough guy. He was also a martial arts expert, and for him, Kokomo was just an economic enterprise. He could take her to parties and places, and she was friendly enough. But I began one day when he said, "I got to run out. I can't be here. Can you cover for me?" And he knew I was a independent writer and I was writing from home. So I brought my daughter, Shelley, over, and we sat there, and there was Kokomo. And she had this little brace on her back. And and I didn't know what it was. It turns out it was a stinger. So if a chimpanzee act up, you just push a button and it gave him a sting. And I thought that was very inhumane. After a while, when over and over and over again, he kept saying, "I got to travel here and there." I'd take care of her sometimes 3 or 4 days at a time. I took it off and just you know, treated her very, you know, very humanely. And one day, when I went in there, and I opened up her area, and I took it off, she came up and she started hugging me. And they started grooming my hair. Now, when a primate grooms your hair, that's what they bond, that's how they bond. And then what they're saying is, I trust you. And so for the next several years, I worked with her daily. And I got to where I was able to give her 167 different words that she understood. And so I would say, Kokomo, what television program do you want to see? And then she would make signs as to what one she wanted to see, whether she liked or didn't like it, which food she liked. And she liked to sit at a table and eat. So we'd go to the refrigerator. You had to see this. She'd open up the refrigerator. She would help me take the food that she liked over and put it on the plate. Then I said, wash your hands. She'd go, wash your hands. And she would actually go to the bathroom. I didn't have to use any. She never soiled. Not once. I showed her to sit on the, you know, she would squat on the toilet. Then afterwards, she'd wipe herself. Then she would clean herself and then clean her hands with soap and water. And interesting, because the owner never knew any of this. Never knew any of it. And she was wonderful, loving. And I wrote a manuscript about this called From Instinct to Intellect, the Study of Primates, showing that these were wonderful sentient beings. And therefore, if she was sentient, all creatures are sentient. You can't say that reality is only parsed to those who have examined one piece of reality. You can't have half-truth. I said this the other day on the show. If I'm going to tell you about why eating organic food is good and how to eat it and which ones to eat and which are superfoods, I can't leave off the other side of the story. What's wrong with our current agriculture and genetically modified foods and pesticides and the destruction of our land and eating meat when it's the vegetables that are going to help you? You have to tell the full truth in everything you do in life. You have to share the full story. You have to have a larger universal context, and therefore you understand what it is you're dealing with. If you only learn the microcosm of the monotheistic thinking, a single truth that's personal in you and your guild or club or sorority or fraternity or religion, you won't understand universal truths. So universal truths are that you show me an animal and you think it's okay to kill it and eat it, I'll show you that same animal showing love and kindness. And then I'll ask, now that you know that it's capable of feelings and thinking and sacrificing, do you still believe that it is unworthy of love? That changes the dynamic, and then a person generally gets angry at you because you've showed them something their belief system has codified as being okay, and you're showing it's not. Now, what they do is up to them, but at least know the full picture, and we generally don't. In any case, one day that Nick came in and says, someone's going to use this desk you're using, Gary. And that was it. I was told to leave because he was going to do something with other people and other chimpanzees. The fact I'd spent years teaching this wonderful creature how to think and sharing kindness and insights and love was irrelevant. So it sure does give you a perspective on how to deal with people in your life. It was just one of New York's many lessons. But if any of you ever remember Kokomo Jr., I was the one who taught her what she learned. So today, when I see, you know, how I'm going to know in advance, I know exactly how I have to shave the corn off for some ringtail lemurs to eat it. But the Capuchins want to hold it just like a human being. In fact, they eat just like a human being, except with mulberries. And mulberries, they'll fill their whole mouth with mulberries, so their cheeks are like a chipmunk cheese. They're loaded up with mulberries. And then they'll hold a bunch in each hand, and then they'll put it in their 2 feet, and they look around to make sure they got all the mulberries they can. It's funny just to watch it when they like something. And then they're very clean, very hygienic. Oh, the most serious part of a Capuchin's day is getting a bath. That's That gets their undivided, and they get this very serious look on their face. It's just adorable to watch this. And then you rub them all down with a towel, and then that's when they want to do their bonding. I'm just going to film in the fall. I'm going to film understanding the life nature of creatures that we frequently just look at as objects instead of their sacredness. In any case, the mulberry leaves can be used to keep diabetes symptoms at bay. That's right. Now, mulberry is a plant traditionally cultivated in Korea and China and Japan for medicine, particularly for treating obesity and diabetes. And in this study published in the British Medical Journal Complementary and Alternative Medicine, researchers at the university found that bioconverted mulberry leaf extract is an effective herbal medicine for improving the symptoms of diabetes. And just so you know, bioconversion is a technique used to produce active ingredients from natural products using microorganisms or enzymes. So if you have diabetes, look for mulberry leaf extract. All right? That's what this is about. And vitamin C can encourage blood cancer cells, stem cells, to die. This is New York University's Langone Health. And so vitamin C, in effect, can tell faulty stem cells in the bone marrow to mature or die normally instead of multiplying to cause blood cancers like leukemia. This is the finding of a study led by researchers from the Perlmutter Cancer Center at New York University's Langone Health and published in the online journal Cell. So vitamin C, this is one of the reasons it's helped with leukemia in the past. Also, if you're burnt out, tired, rhodiola, R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A, rhodiola, rosea, R-O-S-E-A. And that can help you. And this is from Wien University Medical School in Austria. So daily supplements, which are easy to get and expensive, rhodiola, rosea extract can improve burnout, fatigue, tiredness. It's just one of many botanical extracts that can help this. So that's important. All right. And just maybe one more here. Vitamin D deficiency is linked to increased heart failure risk in older people. This was published in the ESC's Heart Failure Journal, peer review journal. So make sure that if you're over the age of 40, you're getting out in the sunlight for an hour a day with a lot of the body exposed, or you're taking between 1,000 to 3,000 units of vitamin D, D3 every day. That can make a difference and help protect you from heart attacks and strokes. Now, one thing on the environment. I am a certified organic farmer. I've taught farming, and in fact, I had the first organic teaching farm in New York State's history, the Fertiller Farm, which thousands and thousands of you visited over the 14 years it was there, and where people could come up on a weekend, and I'd show them all about organic farming, and it was a wonderful time. But now I'm looking at farmers all across America, filming farmers all across America, who can't pay their mortgages, who can't pay their labor, who are burned out. The young kids don't want to stay on the farms because they see what stress is caused and the financial limitations. In comes nature and drops trillions of gallons of water on farmland, and there's no place for that water to go, so it sits and rots out the seeds. So then farmers who've already planted say, well, maybe we shouldn't plant right now and we'll wait. But then when they wait, it's too late to get a crop in. By the time your crop is half matured, the first frost is going to come and you'll kill it all off. So what do? You have expenses and you have no income. Well, two things are happening right now, and it's nowhere in the news. Thousands and thousands of American farms are going bankrupt, more than any since probably the Great Depression. But then there's something else that the federal government just told us about. This, according to Michael Snyder from Global Research, as of just this week, that according to the federal government, 19 million acres of farmland were not planted with crops this year. Wow, that's just horrific. And that's because of people are afraid of what's going to happen, or they planted and their crop was washed out. And that's the new normal. So if you're a farmer and you're looking ahead, you're going to say, well, what's going to happen next year? I didn't get a dollar this year, and it's going to continue the same. Now, I'm going to do a special webinar for farmers, a free webinar, in the next month about how to save your farm and what to do it by converting it. I'm going to show you how to convert it so you won't be impacted by rain, flooding, snow, or anything else. It's on me. It's a three-hour workshop I'm going to do as one farmer and environmentalist and conservationist to all of you out there. So I'll let you know when that's going to happen. But you take 19 million acres of U.S. farmland out, that's the most that's ever been taken out of production in American history. And that's not good, because it means that nobody's planting. So what do you think that's going to do to the food? We're going to have to pay a lot more for food, and it's going to be more difficult to get and more expensive. That's the latest on health and healing and something on the environment. We're going to take a brief break and come right back. I'm Gary Nall, broadcasting and video streaming. Go to Progressive Radio Network Facebook, and you can watch today's show. Back in a moment. I'd like to welcome all of you who've just joined us. I'm Gary Nall. New Monsanto papers reveal ghostwriting from members of the U.S. Congress in an attempt to defund a group that was saying how bad the genetically modified foods are. The U.S. law firm of Baum and Goldman added 100 new documents to the Monsanto papers this past week. The new Monsanto papers document are available for review at Baum, Hedlund, Aristi, and Goldman website. But what it says is this: prior to, during, and after the first three Monsanto Roundup trials, Baum worked to declassify and published internal Monsanto documents pursuant to the protective orders entering the cases. The latest batch of Monsanto papers document shows the following: that Monsanto purposefully ghostwrote articles that regulators working for the federal government, you and I, have been relying upon for years. Monsanto orchestrated attacks, vicious, vile attacks against the International Agency for Research on Cancer. In any case, let me just repeat what has happened there. The Monsanto had a whole campaign designed to attack the people who are critical of genetically modified crops, including their own. And so there was a Dr. Seralini, and Dr. Seralini and a team did an investigation on genetically modified crops, including the Roundup, glyphosate. Now, all the studies done on glyphosate show that that it has to be up to 3 months, meaning if you're consuming as an animal glyphosate for 3 months, nothing will show up. But Seralini let the study go for the full length of the animals, and you ended up with all these cancers, terrible cancers. Monsanto knew that, because 10,000 documents that had already been retrieved show that they knew of all these diseases manifesting in animals that were eating their products, and they kept that from the American public and the scientific community. But federal regulators knew that and kept that from the American public. So just so you understand, when your legislator says, well, 5G is, according to all the research, is non-harmful, or genetically modified is not harmful, or fluoride is not harmful, or mercury fillings are not harmful, says who? And all of these legislators are getting talking point papers, and one of those was from Monsanto, because Monsanto was writing the papers that your legislator was using to prevent any changes in the rules and to protect the guilty people. They did it with DDT, they did it with aldrin, heptachlor, and all these other substances. Just know that unfortunately, I wished I could say the government was working on your behalf. More often than not, it is not. And now we have all of these people coming as lobbyists right in to the governmental agencies and running governmental agencies, when all they have is the loyalty to the company they came from. And by the way, it didn't start with Trump. All these people, Clinton, Obama, Bush, all of them put all these mouthpieces, policymaker wonks, ahead of the EPA, the FDA, U.S. Public Health Service, etc. So if you think you can trust the legitimacy and objectivity of what comes out of Washington, please don't. You'll just be, unfortunately, disappointed. So I just want to let you know that. Now, separately, this is from Zero Hedge, from Tyler Durham, and they did some research. Now, here's what the research shows. The Dayton school shooter was on antidepressants, and here's what he had. According to the coroner's report, the body of Connor Betts, a 24-year-old man who shot and killed his sister and her boyfriend and seven others, and before he himself was shot dead, was taking cocaine, Xanax, and alcohol, and antidepressants. They were all in his system. We saw this in Columbine. In fact, if you remember, there were two movies done at the same time. One was very popular, calling Bowling for Columbine. But there was a problem here. And what was the problem? The problem is we were out there for a long period of time, and we interviewed everyone involved in the Columbine shooting. And they all said the same thing. And that was that Eric Harris and the others were on antipsychotic medication, and before they went on the psychiatric meds, they seemed to be normal. After they went on those meds, they became psychotic with real mental health issues, anxiety, thought disorders, and suicidality. That's what happens from these antipsychotics. So we came back, and I went to see Bowling for Columbine, and I was concerned. And Michael Moore, being a friend, I called him, and we sat down, and I showed him my clip. And I said, Michael, you're showing the people saying it's the guns, and I'm filming the people saying it's the meds. And that's when Michael said, well, set up your camera, and we filmed him saying it was the meds. And that's what you saw in our film. So we're concerned that we're not putting the full emphasis where it should be. So we have done a list. 1989, Joseph Westbecker walked into his former employer, Stanford Group, and shot 20 workers, killing nine. He was on Prozac for a month before that. He had not shown any of that before. And then when the survivors sued the makers of Prozac, Eli Lilly, Westbecker used a semi-automatic Chinese AK-47 style firearm and 9mm pistol, and all of which he purchased legally and passing his background check. So yeah, you should have some absolute background checks, but how do you check a person's background for being a potential shooter? Because the average person in America, the average gun owner, is not going in and killing anyone and hasn't historically. When I grew up, everyone owned a gun, but no one was ever shot. So it's the psychiatric drugs. Shouldn't we be checking which medications are on, and if they're on any antidepressant or antipsychotic medication, prevent them from having a firearm? 1995, Jared Victor was 15 when he was prescribed Paxil. 10 days after starting it, he stabbed his grandmother 61 times. 1996, at 18, Kurt Danish murdered his father just 17 days after beginning prescribed Prozac. I've got 90 of these instances I can show you. Shouldn't we begin to be honest about Zoloft and all these other antipsychotic medications? Shouldn't we be honest about how we've pathologized people's normal behavior for profit? And by the way, all this will be coming out in the new documentary coming in about 6 months, Manufacturing Madness, and the articles that will go along with that. So we have got to look deeper than what we're looking at for the problem. Now, separately, yesterday, we have one more week to go in our study. And the good news is, and I'll just give you just a brief hint because it was really positive. The one studies for diabetes and arthritis and insomnia and fatigue. Well, in that study, after 3 weeks, mind you, this is not a medical study. These are people who have these conditions, can verify they've had them, been under medical treatment, taking meds, etc., and have not benefited from that approach. And what we found was this. this is one example. One gentleman said that he has been a diabetic for a long time, and even with medications, he couldn't bring his blood sugar below 280. As of yesterday and for the previous days, it's 80. With no medication, he dropped his blood sugar and it's stable 200 points. But another person said they dropped it over 110 points as well to normal with no medication. And so it went. The people who said that they had insomnia, one man said he would wake up five times a night for years and he would wake up fatigued. Now he sleeps through the night completely. He was not the only person. And people, 90% of the people said that their energy has increased tremendously and is stable rather than being fatigued. And the same positive results came from our group with depression and anxiety and loneliness. Major improvements. The final week is next week, and then we'll write up the report, and I'll share it with the audience. Now for a special look at Wikipedia skeptics. Why? Because it is the most referenced encyclopedia in the world. But is it a real encyclopedia? That you're going to see later this week. We are showing you our research where we took a look at real encyclopedias and compared it to Wikipedia. Wikipedia is not, in our opinion, a real, doesn't pass any muster as a real encyclopedia. It's a propaganda machine by people who cannot support their own positions with any legitimacy. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that you had a condition. Let's say your condition was lower back pain and you wanted to see what would help. You've taken over-the-counter medications. That didn't work. So then you went to your doctor, and he gave you opiates, including OxyContin. It worked, but boy, there were really serious side effects. And death, as you saw when you started doing your homework, was a common side effect. 60,000 Americans died of opiates in the last year alone. You didn't want to be one of them. So you said, there must be some natural, non-toxic way. So you went to Google, and you Googled, you know, pain relief, and up comes Wikipedia. And you look under, you know, acupuncture, because you're told that that will help you by a friend who had it. And all you see is they're denigrating acupuncture. You don't know who these people are. They're anonymous. You don't know what the resources are. But they say with certainty it's all quackery, and the people promoting this are really lunatic charlatans. They actually use the word lunatic charlatans. So you don't do it. You go back to your OxyContin. Here's what you don't know. These people pride themselves in being the ultimate deciders of what is truth in science. So we decide to look into their background and do the kind of reporting we've done and I've done my entire career. And we have an article up right now. It's called Wikipedia Skeptics' Mission to Suppress the Dissemination of Quality Health and Medical Studies. It's very straightforward. It's this, that they place a great deal of importance upon scientific research that appears in peer-reviewed publications, okay? At the same time, it correctly is critical of the quality of large amounts of clinical research that gets published. The same is true for Quackwatch, the skeptics' first stop resource for information to debunk non-conventional alternative medicine. So if you want to know, does herbology work, mind-body medicine, meditation, vitamins, organic produce juicing, holistic doctor treatments, intravenous vitamin C, traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine? No, none of it works according to them. And they are using Quackwatch as their resource. Well, then let's assume Quackwatch is legitimate. How do you know it's legitimate or not? We do know this, that Wikipedia is the establishment's number one way of preventing people from understanding the power and potency of alternative and complementary medicine. They're there to debunk anything that comes through alternative medical systems and practices, and their practitioners are attacked. And the advocates are attacked. Unfortunately, we have documented elsewhere, Quackwatch has also been recognized by skeptic editors who control approximately 700 entries dealing with alternative health and parapsychology on Wikipedia. and likely Jimmy Wales himself as a legitimate and authoritative reference. They say it is. We don't. The New York Times doesn't question it. NBC doesn't question it. No one in Congress questions it. No one in the media questions it. No one in the major medical community questions it. We do, because they haven't done their homework. They're too damn lazy. But assuming Quackwatch is a reliable source of information to debunk everything, all your experiences, it's all imaginary to them, is far from the truth. They're not a reliable source. Nevertheless, Quackwatch's founder, Stephen Barrett, he's heralded as an authority throughout many of the Wikipedia health pages. Barrett has accused the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, a federally funded department within the CDC, of, quote, wasting money sponsoring useless studies. Barrett and his Quackwatch colleagues are adamant that tax dollars should not be spent to investigate complementary alternative medicine's therapeutic successes. Skeptics already believe they have the answer for any improvement. And that is, well, you've just been duped into a placebo effect. Really? Well, why don't you tell that to the people who are going into hospice care? Let's tell Eutrice Lead, one of the most respected journalists who's been on the air for, 30 years, who had end-stage lung cancer, opened her up in a hospital, closed her back up, and sent her off to hospice care. That's when I got the call. 3 months later, she is healthy, lost about 100 pounds, no longer diabetic, high blood pressure, and her lungs are fine. And she wins a gold medal in a state Fuller State Championship. Why don't you tell her it's a placebo? Why don't you tell the person that was shaking so uncontrollably at the last retreat that he couldn't hold a toothbrush, couldn't shave himself, couldn't do anything for himself, and the last day was able to eat for himself and take care of himself? Why don't you say that that's a placebo? You see, you can say something with the authority of Wikipedia and the establishment. You can't prove it. These are not placebos. These are real changes. Now, maybe you can't understand them. Okay. Then we'll speak very slowly if you're one of those doctors or Quackwatch people who can't really understand or wrap your mind around what some of the rest of us are actually doing. And similarly, the folks over at Skeptic Group Science-Based Medicine, founded by Stephen Novella, have also made it part of its mission to lobby against public funding for non-conventional medical research. On Quackwatch, Barrett references his colleague, the late Dr. Wallace Sampson, as an authoritative voice in his accusations against public funds being spent on alternative medicine. However, Wallace likewise cannot be acknowledged as an objective voice representing sound scientific views. The irony and hypocrisy we find in Quackwatch and science-based medicine complaints about peer-reviewed journals publishing studies into alternative and complementary medicine is that its own attempt to launch its own peer-reviewed journal, the Skeptics Journal, the Quack Journal, was a dismal failure. Wallace Sampson was the co-founder and editor of the now-defunct journal, the Scientific Review of Alternative Medicine and Aberrant Medical Practices, later renamed the Scientific Review of Alternative Medicine. He was also an editor in Novella's science-based medicine blog. The journal defined itself as the, quote, only peer-reviewed journal devoted exclusively to objectively analyzing the claims of alternative medicine, unquote. However, objectivity was one virtue the journal was woefully deficient in. At a glance, many of its contributors were familiar to Quackwatch and science-based medicine blogs, notably Kimball Atwood and the co-founder of Barrett's National Council Against Health Fraud, William Jarvis and Wallace Sampson himself. Although there's no recognizable direct financial connection between these groups, the journal appears to have started with the intent of being a kind of quasi peer review Quackwatch with a glossy cover as a means to more effectively penetrate the medical establishment. The fact is, Quackwatch and its successor, science-based medicine, have remained on the fringes of modern medicine. Science-based medicine has yet to gain widespread acceptance and is held with considerable suspicion even in the medical profession. It can perhaps be best understood as a small cult within conventional medicine at large. And its journal? How about this? And no one knows this. This is the first time you're hearing this. Its journal, the Quacks Journal, or Quack Watch Journal, whatever you want to call it, was evaluated on three separate occasions by the National Library of Medicine to judge whether its professional standards were high enough to be included in Medline, PubMed's Index Medicus. It was rejected each time. Whoa. Well, that's not good. And it's also worth noting that that journal's editorial admission operated out of a leading skeptic organization, Center for Inquiry, through which all subscription press inquiries were directed. So Stephen Barrett, Wallace Sampson, Stephen Novella, and Atwood and David Gorski are all leading as celebrities. They're superstars in their little tiny field, especially its Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. Woo, sounds like woo-woo from the Spanish Inquisition, doesn't it? Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. What is particularly important is to recognize that this little group, with its publication, was a product of a network of skeptic entities with whom they share a mission to discredit all alternative and natural health therapies. And today, they are the ones who dominate Wikipedia. They're the ones who say whether something is legitimate or not. And anything, everything, no exceptions, if it's alternative, it's quackery in their mind. So you're saying that it's quackery. So you're saying that 100,000 practitioners of alternative and complementary medicine, all board certified or licensed, all having extensive education in their field, treating thousands of patients each, which are hundreds of millions of patients collectively, and supported by the peer-reviewed literature in the science-based medicine, or the peer-reviewed literature in the government's own PubMed, you're saying it's all quackery? Wow. That's massive discrimination with no scientific basis. And yet your own publication couldn't get accepted into the same library of medicine. So the article's a long article, you can read it, but here's the takeaway message. It's important. There are over 500,000, over a half a million articles minimally on PubMed, the government's own official website, where its standards are you have to meet a very high standard. And guess what? There are peer-reviewed journals on homeopathy that got accepted, and they didn't. The very people they criticize have articles. There's articles on vitamin D and vitamin C and chiropractic and homeopathy and acupuncture. Yeah. So we actually have the peer-reviewed science on our side. We have the scientific community on our side. We have thousands and thousands of board-certified physicians on our side. We have the entire chiropractic healing profession of over 35,000 chiropractors on our side. We have hundreds of thousands of physicians trained in great discipline in China, in South Korea, in Japan, on Oriental medicine, in India, on allopathic medicine, on our side. So the truth we have on our side, but they have Wikipedia and Jimmy Wales and the establishment and the deep state on their side. So guess who has the most influence on a daily basis? They do. That's why we'll continue to show you what we believe is the lack of any objectivity on the part of Wikipedia. So if you want to read a comic book, read Wikipedia. If you want the truth, go elsewhere. Now, there's more. We believe that they should be challenged. We believe there should be congressional hearings. I have personally already filed issue with the Internal Revenue Service to challenge with the Inspector General its nonprofit status. We believe that we can only win if we, all of us in this audience, join together to have congressional hearings where our experts are invited, not their experts, and challenge their experts under oath by showing the documentation we have that they are propagandizing on behalf of Big Pharma. All right, that is what's important. Now, this is a letter that one of our attorneys sent to every member of Congress last week. I don't expect these people in Congress by themselves with this letter to do anything, but they will do something if you take this letter and you send this, actually two letters, to every member of your Congress. This is a list of Wikipedia's injustices that they probably are not aware of. Quote, why it is imperative that Congress hold a hearing to investigate Wikipedia and invite members of the public to testify. A two-year investigation into the organization by journalists and lawyers have uncovered the following. Wikipedia is violating its own policies and guidelines requiring verifiability, neutrality, and respect for living people. By using self-published sources and sources that are not reliable, by not taking a neutral point of view, enforcing the rules unevenly, permitting pay-to-play editing, choosing which editors are allowed on the platform, mischaracterizing the sources, pushing one ideology while denigrating another, by not showing respect for living people, but rather causing harm to the reputation of business of individuals with whom or which they disagree. Wikipedia Foundation has stripped itself of the immunity conferred by Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act by taking an active role in the published content involving itself editorially in the content it hosts, choosing which editors are allowed a platform, choosing when and where to enforce its rules. Wikipedia Foundation has violated its charter as a nonprofit by violating IRS regulations governing nonprofit corporations, supporting certain political candidates while denigrating others by selectively permitting pay-to-play editing and institutional conflicts of interest, particularly where generous donors are concerned, by applying its rules unevenly in favor of some political and corporate establishment entities while libeling those it dislikes. In violation of its own policies by censoring user-generated content, it allows only that favored by those in power, in violation of Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. It is imperative that Congress not only hold a hearing to investigate these injustices, but they invite individuals who have been targeted by the editors of Wikipedia, as well as journalists familiar with a mountain of evidence against the organization, to testify at a hearing. That's one of two letters. Read the letters. They're on PRN.fm, and they talk about going after Google, Twitter, Facebook, Amazon, and Apple, all of which have been involved now in censoring information for special interest groups and attacking people who hold different points of view. And that's not what these organizations were meant to be there for. I'll share some very positive, absolutely, possibly uniquely revolutionary information with you. And for some of you in this audience, it could be a life changer. That's coming for tomorrow. Also later this week, we will be exposing the people behind the scenes with actual whistleblowers on our program who are going to challenge Google on the show. You'll hear things you have not heard before. We're in this for you, but it's important for you not to sit back idly and just hear what's going on. We're creating original content in the investigative reporting we're doing, showing you corruption. But it's important for you to take that and share it as many places you can with as many people as you can. And then we have a chance. The last thing they want is to get me and others before Congress. And if you want to know why, go up on GaryNall.com or go up on PRN.fm and look at my testimony under oath, and you'll see why. I do not bear fools well. And I do not compromise on telling the truth. So I'm the last person they want to bring forward, but I'm the one that needs to be there to take them on, because we have all the evidence. I'm going to put them out of business. Have a nice day, everyone.